Blog Talk Radio.
There is power, power, wondrous working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, sing it with me, power, wondrous working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. How many of you know that there is power, power, wondrous working power in the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. All in that blood. Oh, that blood, that blood, that blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow, that makes us whole, that redeems us, that heals us, that prospers us, that gives us that breakthrough. Oh, power in that blood. And as we are in this, as the world regards us, the holiday season, we are focusing on the real reason that the season should even consider to be celebrated. And Jesus Christ is that reason. It's not the commercial venues and the beautiful decorations and the holiday songs and all the cheerful activities. It's all about who is responsible for this magnificent miracle-filled season, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. He is the reason. And that's the reason why we sang with a cappella. We didn't need music. We're making melody in our heart through the Holy Spirit, talking about Jesus, his power, his presence, his love, his greatness, his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence. Because when you talk about Father God, you've got to reflect on Jesus. And that's why we're here on this day after Christmas, according to worldly standards. And let me tell you something. Don't get hung up on worldly traditions. It's wonderful to give recognition and recollection. Let's get that word out there. Let's get that word, that manifestational word out there to give consideration to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we know in reality that he was not born on December 25th, so stop reproducing falsehoods. I mean, we've all been guilty of it. Through tradition. Tradition tells us, oh, December 25th is Jesus' birthday. No, it was not. Because there's a time that Christ was born. Listen to this. We were under what was called the Julius Caesar calendar. Julius Caesar's calendar replicated only 10 months. So in replicating only 10 months, October is the correct month in which Christ was born. Because every year only had 10 months. It's only after the imputation of July, which represented Julius Caesar, and then August, which represented Caesar Augustus. When those 2 months were imputed in, this is how we got the 12 months in the calendar. Before then, it was only 10 months. So correct calculation saying October is when our Messiah was born. That's correct. And if you're familiarized with the very weather aspects, that's right, of the Middle East and October, October is a very seasonably warm time of the year. Tradition tells us, Oh, it was cold outside. There's no room in. No, it was no room in because this is a very commercialized time of the year in October. And that's the truth. That's why the availability of residency, of lodging, was so limited because there was a lot of traveling going on in October. That's the reason why. And let me tell you something. Knowing the truth is refreshing, it is liberating, it is stimulating, it is elevating, it is motivating, and it's inspirational to bring us to that next level in our lives where we can receive the greatness of God's promises being made manifest in us, with us, through us, and in every aspect of our life, knowing the truth. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether or not you say it's December the 25th. Number one, we don't argue about things of that relevance. It's not so much of knowing when he was born. It's the fact that we acknowledge that he was born and that he birthed the power of God within our very being. And this is the time that we reflect on those things. And as we're coming into the new year, we're going to be broadcasting for the new year, getting you guys ready and prepared. We're going into the year 2022 with an awesome, with an anointing that mankind has yet to be able to experience. We're doing it. God is going to use so many of us in ways that we're going to say, my Heavenly Father, and we know it's not us. We can't do anything of our own volition. We know that it's the power of God that worketh within us. So to God be the glory. I'm praising and thanking him right here and now because you know what? We can't do anything without the hand of God. And God's had to humble some of us and sit some of us down, push us in the background for a while. And we thought that, oh, woe is me. We start getting the Jeremiah complex. That God was mad with us, he was punishing us. No, God had to restructure us because some of us had gotten misaligned with our mission. And God had to chasten us. But he didn't heavily afflict us and cause us pain, misery, and suffering. He just merely straightened us out. Now he's sending us back on our path to do his work, his will, and his way. And I know this is a word of knowledge. Listen to this. Many of us are saying, I'm going to do bigger and better things in my life. I want to get some things together. You know what? When we put God's word first, he'll put our affairs first to put us in a position where we don't have to fret about finances. We don't have to fret about circumstances. We don't have to fret about situations and individuals. Because we're taking care of his business. And I see that this year's coming up, God is going to bring some of us into relationships with a partner whom he has chosen, not who we choose, because sometimes blindsidedness, we get overwhelmed with attractiveness, physical attractiveness, but we don't look at the inner man. And this is what gets a lot of us into trouble. But God is going to do some wonderful things for us. And I said, thank you, Lord Jesus, because Lord knows I and so many of you have been waiting a long time. But we've got to be patient. We've got to go into this 2022 year with the right attitude and with the right latitude. So just thank God for all of the miraculous things that he's doing. And just have to go into the broadcast, the miracle, that's right, the manna of miracle. Because miracles happen. The point is this. Let me tell you something. Just because you haven't seen miracles happen and you haven't seen a manifestation of miracles happen doesn't mean they don't happen. It just means that sometimes we're not in the mindset. We're not in the perimeter whereof as we experience those things because God sometimes has to misalign us with certain people, sometimes it's with family, sometimes it's with associations at the workplace, Sometimes it's an establishment to get us back on track where we can do what is needful and necessary to be done. So now that God got our attention, he set us down, refocused us, realigned us, now we're back on track again. And we need to stay on track. I know I'm going to stay on track. That's right, because I praise God for his divine hand of intervention upon me, in my body, in my mind, in my household, in my family, and then those around me. And I'm looking for greater and better things. That's right. I'm looking for greatness to come and manifest, because as much as God giveth unto me and blesses and prospers me, as much as I'm going to bless and be able to help and prosper you. And the continuation goes over and over again. Well, we're not going to get haughty and proud, because we know from whom the greatness comes through and who it comes by. And it's by the authority given in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we just thank God for all of his wonderful blessings unto us. And just thank you, Heavenly Father, now as we're going into the Word. That's right, Lord, just to say thanks be unto you, to you be the glory, the honor, the praise, and the recognition that is so due unto your name, Father God. Sometimes we get too caught up. Sometimes we get too busy. Sometimes we get too overwhelmed and we forget. But, Lord, we're taking this time out of worship and just to say thank you, Lord, to raise our hands toward heaven and say thank you, Father God. We're asking that you touch, heal, deliver, prosper, send your hand, your divine hand of intervention right now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thanking you, God, in advance for the miracle. Oh, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for protection. Thank you for safety. Thank you for just your presence, your love, your guidance. Just thank you for everything, both great and small. Lord, you said we've been faithful over a few things. You would make us the ruler of many. And we praise you, Father God, right, that you destroy every negative force, every negative frequency, every stronghold, Lord, of the enemy, every attack, every attempt against your people, destroy the child of Messiah in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But Lord, we know that it's your power, your wondrous working power, that gave us the victory. And we give you honor, we give you praise, and we give you glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Amen and amen. Oh, my Father God, what a wonderful time to be a believer in the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man will do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to put your trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations can pass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They can pass me about, yea, they can pass me about like bees. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They can pass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song. and it's become my salvation. All praise the heavenly name of our Father God. All we read for your listening consideration and your soul's motivation, the first, to me, what I refer to as one of the first most shaking psalms of reconciliation that God utilizes on behalf of those who love and trust him, to those who spoke evil against us, who hoped evil against us, who sent out negative vibrations against us, the blood of Jesus Christ covers us. And here, the assurance that God has protected us and delivered us is relevant right in this scripture. That's right. Psalms 118, I read verses 1, but praise God, through the 14th verse. But oh, special consideration here. Let's just read this one scripture. The 25th verse. Save now. That means God, continue to prosper us. I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. God's way is the prosperous way anyway. And after God has given us the victory, revitalized, restored us, refreshed us, elevated us, motivated us, brought us out, delivered us, healed us, restructured our pathway, has moved the hand of the enemy away from us, now it's time for the prosperity to come. And this is where we're going. Because when we're going into the new year, this has got to be the most prosperous and miracle manifesting year that there has been in quite a while. It has to be. And this is the reason why we're walking in the elementation of the truth. I know this is a very unusual manner in which we're going into our segment today. But let me tell you something. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We can't always think that we can lead and be able to guide and use our own abilities. Someone, we have to depend upon the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows what it is that is needed at that hour. My belief may say, I want to teach about faith. The Holy Spirit sees what we cannot see. And somebody's in the listening audience who needs a word of knowledge. They've been hindered. They felt captivated. They feel as though they're in a hole. Their prayers are not being answered. Their bodies are not being healed. Their households have been destroyed because the enemy is taking hold upon them, because they're abiding under a malevolent force. And as a result, the Holy Spirit discerns this and comes forward. That's right. And this is where we get the word of knowledge from. And many of us have to understand that being in the area of deliverance, there's different aspects of deliverance. Some deliverance is a physical manifestation. Some deliverance is spiritual manifestations. Some areas of deliverance are financial manifestations. Some areas of deliverance are elements in which people are released from certain behaviors. So we have to be obedient and to walk in those areas. And as Jesus even revealed to Peter, and Peter said he was, it was given revelation to him in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. This is where we're going to be beginning our segment for this week. And the disciples were asked, now, had you been with our Messiah all this while, you walked with him, you've seen the miracles, you've seen the manifestation, you've seen the great things that came about. And when Jesus asked them to reveal who he was, if we were to bring forth a theme, a topic, do you know Jesus for yourself? Do you know him? The disciples thought they knew him. But here was the very most unlikely individual. His personality was just totally different. And let's go to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. We're going to begin here, and we're going to continue on building the foundation for this very tenacious area. Because let me tell you something, going into 2022, we've got to know who he is. And we've got to operate in the power of the anointing. We can't do this in the flesh. We can't. We'll fail. And then we'll be saying, woe is me. We can't do this. We have to operate through the power of the Holy Spirit. And let's go to the 12th verse. Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. What are we talking about here? Well, here Jesus, if you read the previous verses, here they were. They were weary. They were tired. And Jesus brought back to their attention the followers and the disciples about how he fed the multitudes. How many remember the story of the five barley loaves and the two fish? How many of you remember the 4,000 that was fed and the basket loaves were still full? This is what happens when you take what you have, your faith, and you focus it upon God, upon the name of Jesus Christ, not upon mankind, because mankind will change. They're subject to altercation because things go a certain way with them. They're subject to be different. But when we take and focus our faith and our capacities and our ability upon God, he is who makes the miracles happen. And Jesus brought back to them the very elementation of the five barley loaves and the two fish. And the baskets were still taken up full. And how natural explanation could never give a rightful referendum of how that happened. See, God takes what does not seem possible, and he does the impossible. And so as we're going into deliverance, we got to walk according to the knowledge of God at our jobs, in our communities, in our families, in our relationships, and we've got to be in the stance and in the steed where God can use us to do the impossible so that others will come to faith and believe. Well, okay, here we go. And he told the disciples to be mindful, be careful of legalism. See, legalism has destroyed, oh, if you just all knew it, legalism would destroy a city quicker than a violent rampage will. Why? Because legalism always wants things documented. Always wants it. And see, Apostle Paul said this, and this is going to the universe. God's going to do some supernatural thing, because we're speaking on the elementation right here and now. He said they're going to let it kill us, but the Spirit giveth life. And see, one thing that legalism fears, it fears the Spirit of God. It fears the power of the Holy Ghost. It fears the power and the manifestation of God's presence, because God's presence destroys everything that's not right. It kills off negative forces, conditions in the body, in the mind, in the family, in the relationship. The power of God does it. How did you think the children of Israel got through the Red Sea when Moses took the rod and smote the Red Sea and the path? The power of God did it. It wasn't that rod. It was the power behind that rod, which was the power of God. Okay? So he tells us to be careful, and we have to be careful as being spiritual believers and followers, being obedient in the works of God. We got to be careful of legalism. We can't get tied up in that. That is not God's will. No, it's not. And here we see that then understood they how he bade them not to beware of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I guess they were saying, well, why are you talking about that? Because legalism will destroy the power of the presence of the anointing. See, Jesus could have done many great works in numerous places, but because they were so legalized, they had to follow the law. The law says it destroyed everything, so he did not work those miracles. Jesus only did what was given for him to do based upon the principles of faith. See, faith tells you move all this mess out the way. get this garbage out the way so that the power of God's presence can come in. And here it is. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the 14th verse says, "And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias." You know, Elias, this is the Jewish terminology of Elijah. You know, Elijah was the prophet of the world when he never saw death. He was only translated, and he went up into the wind closet. He was a fire-breathing prophet who spoke the word of God so fervently, God moved every time he spoke. And he said, what? Elias? And then the other said, Jeremiah. And this is for the terminology of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah was considered the wailing prophet. He wept for Israel to come back to the state of originality because they had become misguided, misinformed, and misinterpreted. And we need to make sure that we pray for Israel right now in the name of Jesus, that the prophet that comes through there, that the power of God's presence will abide with him, because this man is going to be the person whom we're going to stand with. And we got to get this done. That's right. And we'll go more into that as the Holy Spirit leads us, okay? And he said unto what? Jeremiah the prophet. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. All right. 17th verse, and Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So he knew, Jesus knew, that revelation didn't come from a man or man's faith, but he knew that God had gave the divine revelation of his presence, his personage, to Simon Bar-Jonah. He knew it. See, God does extraordinary things with less than ordinary people. So people say that you ordinary, thank you, God. I'm ordinary, but see, God will do some extraordinary things in me, through me, and with me. And you know what? The very people that push me in the background will say, what happened? How did God bless and prosper her? Because he blesses those who stand in the stead of being blessed. Of those who honor him, God will always be honorable to them. And he said, what? He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, I will say unto thee, thou art Peter. That's when Peter's name became relevant. He was no longer called Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, Peter. Peter means rock. And upon this rock, upon the word that was given to you and placed within you about who I am, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So this is where the origin of the church was born, because God, the Almighty, saw a less than ordinary man who was a disciple, who was a follower, who was not afraid to speak up and say, I know who you are. You are Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. And when you're willing to stand up and stand out for God, God is willing to stand up and stand out for you. And as a result, he became the chief apostle. He was given the authority of the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And here Jesus says this, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He said, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loose in heaven. Now, this is our foundation, people. We're going to be going on into our lesson, talking about the power of the authority of the believer. Now, as we progress forward, we're going to see where sometimes we have to take access to those keys to unlock certain principles that are coexisting in the kingdom of heaven. And as a result, those principles will be made manifest on the physical level, whereas others can witness the very power of God itself. So it's a blessing in being obedient. It's a blessing in being in the very area of obedience. Sometimes we have to walk alone. Sometimes it's very heart-wrenching. Sometimes it's very frustrating that we have to go at it alone. But as long as we trust God and lean and depend upon him, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And God will connect us with others who have the same like mind and the same like principles. So we're going to be going forward talking about the power and the authority of the keys and how every believer has accessibility to the keys. And remember when Jesus said, greater works in his name shall we do, cast out devils, lay hands upon the sick, and they will recover, and give sight to the blind, and all of the wonderful miracles of God's presence. This is the evidence that God is with us. And we would do these works. But what has happened is that this new age movement has taken over and has caused a great deprivation in the working in the manifold of miracles. And God is not pleased. He's letting us know he's not pleased. Because you can't do these things. You can't separate truth and allow error to come in. Because there will be an unequivocal imbalance in the equation. And God wants us to get back on track. As we're going into this new year, we got to come correct. None of us are perfect. We all fall short. But when we fall short and God chases us, we have to get up. We got to leave what happened behind us and go forward with a newfound faith and newfound anointing. That's right. And as much as we do in the kingdom of heaven and manifest into the works of mankind, into the lives of others, and we sow in seeds into the lives of others, as much as God will sow into our lives and bless and prosper us. And this is what it's all about. So listen, we're going to say to you right now, we're expecting the very greatest that God has to offer us. And we receive it with humility and a spirit of thanksgiving. You have a wonderful, blessed, and prosperous Sunday evening. And we'll see you again later on this week as we're preparing to go into our New Year's Day message. That's why we're going to be receiving the very greatness that God has to offer. You have your host from coast to coast, the Esquire. Abby A. Faith, self known as the Motor City Modern Mindset, and all things give thanks. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Have a blessed, wonderful, and prosperous week, and we'll see you again later on this week.